We have two readings for this morning, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. The first is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. This is the version of this scripture called the Message. Hear the word of God. This is the commandment, the rules and regulations that God, your God, commanded me to teach you to live out in the land you're about to cross into to possess. This is so that you'll live in deep reverence before God lifelong, observing all His rules and regulations that I'm commanding you. You and your children and your grandchildren, living good, long lives. Listen obediently, Israel. Do what you're told so that you'll have a good life, a life of abundance and bounty, just as God promised, in a land abounding in milk and honey. Attention, Israel. God, our God. God, the one and only. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them. From the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. And now the reading from Acts 2, this one in the New Revised Standard Version. Peter had just finished preaching, and he had made the proclamation that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, and the people respond. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
If you're looking for me, oh, I see you are. You won't find me up there because I'm back here. Can you say hello? Say hello. Say hello. You don't look anything. Everybody's listening. I'm back here with Tobias, and there's cookies and juice. Would you like to be back here too? Everybody's got a snack. I'm back here with Mom in the quiet room, where our youngest begin to gather, where our youngest, bye Tobias, see you later, enjoy your cookie, bye Liz, where our youngest really start to experience church. I'd rather stay in there. There's a snack, there's a really comfortable chair, and it's nice and dark and cool. And y'all have lollipops. This is all, and you're coloring. This is awesome. I started back there this morning because that's where so many of our young people start. And I'm so touched by the scripture that David read in Deuteronomy, love God. Love your God with your whole entire heart. Write these commandments on your heart. Get them inside of you and get them inside of your children. Talk about them at soccer practice. Talk about them at swim team. Talk about them at grandma's house. Write them in your hearts morning and night. Teach your children about this story of faith. And that's where so many of our young people start. When I was working at Vanderbilt, I had the great opportunity of supporting undergraduates and working with them. And one particular student, Elizabeth, had had a very, very difficult first semester. And she had come to talk to me about this terrible time. She felt broken. She was sad. She was lost. And it was one of the hardest seasons of her life. And she told me, she said, I'm going to go home for the weekend. She lived in Alabama. I'm going to go home for the weekend and just spend some time with my family and try to come back and get through the rest of the semester. So we talked about some coping skills, and we talked about some people she could reach out to. And the next week, she came into my office and sat down, and she said, you won't believe what happened when I went home. I said, well, tell me what happened. She said, I started driving home and realized that the wheel was turning, and I drove straight back to my home church. I went into the office, and I asked the secretary for the key to the sanctuary. She didn't ask why, she just gave it to me. And I went and opened the church and went and sat in one of the pews by myself. And I said, why did you do that? She said, because I needed to feel what I felt as a kid at church. She said, I remember all the love I felt. I remember the hugs people gave me. I remember the adults that surrounded me, my friends that were there. I needed in this time when I feel broken and lost to sit in a place that felt like a home away from home, a place where I knew I could feel a love unlike any other. She wanted to be in that place that felt like home. Now, does that mean that she remembered every single pastor, every single sermon her pastor said? Do you remember every single sermon I've said? Yeah, y'all get real, because the answer is no, right? I don't remember every single sermon I've ever heard. I am guilty of thinking about what I need to get at the grocery store when I should be listening to a sermon. Don't be thinking about your grocery list, family. We as adults don't remember everything that we hear in church. She might not remember every sermon her pastor said, but she remembered that when she left the sanctuary, he always wanted to give her a hug and ask her about her week and talk to her. She might not have understood the theology behind communion, but she remembered when she grabbed that little crusty piece of bread and she held the juice in her hand, that it wasn't her mom or dad that made that meal. She knew, her church taught her, that Jesus Christ provided that meal and that they were eating that meal with him. She said she also knew it was special because there was those fancy silver platters that got passed around, just like we have. And she didn't understand the power behind baptism, but she remembered sitting on the floor and watching parents with their children. And her mom told her that that water in the baptismal font's not the same water that comes out of your bathtub. It's special water. And she remembered watching the parents cry. And she said, "Mom and Dad, why is everybody crying when they hold the baby? Are they sad?" And she said, "No, they're happy. Because baptism is the church opening their arms and inviting those children in." And she surely wasn't on the stewardship team or the capital campaign team, Morris. But she remembered the smell of the wood in the pews. And do you all ever remember back, maybe you went to a church where you had those certain pews you would sit on that would really squeak really loud when you moved around? She remembered that. And she remembered taking her shoes off and running across the red carpet during vacation Bible school. She might not remember everything that was said, but she absolutely remembered everything she felt. It's the same way for us. You might not remember a thing I say today. That's okay. But you might remember that in the narthex, somebody reached out to say, "Maxine, how is Joel doing? We've been praying for him. We've been thinking about you." Or, "Bud, how is it going? I know you've been taking good care of Pete. Hello, Pete." She's watching today, I understand. "How are you, Bud? We care about you. We care about Michelle, and we care about your mom." You'll remember that, right? Just like our kids remember. We have a wonderful opportunity this summer. Faithful people of the children and youth team, faithful people of the renovation team who've given hours to serve in this church to prepare and pray over the things they want our children and youth to learn, have set goals of faith formation for our young people. And one of those goals is to have the opportunity to come in here and to be in this pew and to sing hymns and to worship and explore and look and listen and learn about what it means to do this thing we call corporate worship. To come and sit next to us as family members, as the body of Christ, and be a part of this place. So they will be with us for the month of July and August as they explore and learn and as they hold the bread and as they listen to the choir and as they sing songs and they understand what it means to be a part of this worshipful space. I remember while serving the church in Seattle, every single time we had a session meeting, they would give the counts for worship. And I remember asking the question, "Did you count all the adults and the children downstairs in Sunday school?" And the guy said, "No." And that's part of the reason I'm glad Karen Cherry is a part of our session team to be the voice to that, because I was the children's and youth coordinator. And I said, "Wait a minute. There's like 25 adults and 50 kids in the basement. Don't they count as a part of this? Aren't they also worshiping?" So they did start including them. And they should have. Every single person in this church, everyone who's gathered together here is an important part of that worship space. And in the early church, as David read the Acts scripture, we understand that the very thing that we do now is the very thing the early church did, to come together to pray and to sing and to praise and to celebrate the sacraments. Now, does that mean that you might have someone, David, who's wiggling behind you and kicking the back of your pew? Yes, you might. But I bet you will know how to handle that and how to support the parents who are also doing that. But it might also mean you have two lovely ladies who are here part of worship as they have their lollipops and coloring. The last church I served before I came to you all, it was Christmas Eve. And you know, on Christmas Eve, you get lots of visitors. People and family members come in from out of town. And I knew something was special because this family was sitting on the very front row. And nobody ever sits on the front row, do they? That's why you all sit right here, because it's not the front. The front's always empty. Feels a little vulnerable to sit in the front. But I noticed, well, they're sitting right there in the front. And as we went on into worship, and we did the call to worship, and we started singing the hymns and the offering, and I noticed when it came time for the hymns, they would pull out the hymnal, and they would open up the page. And their kids would climb up on the pew and they'd hold on to Dad's arm and they would point their finger and show them the way of where to sing. And when they passed the offering plate, the parents gave them their check or their dollar and let them put it in the offering plate to teach them what it means to give back. And the sweetest time was when we passed the peace and they would come up to someone like Carolyn, someone of a different age, and reach out and say, "The peace of God for you. Peace be with you." These little voices, "Peace be with you and peace be with you." And they would learn what it means to be invited and to invite others and to reach out and shake hands. These parents were busy. They were working hard, and it was Christmas Eve. And I had all these assumptions in my head. So I went down after worship and I looked at the mom and dad and I said, "Wow, we're so glad you're here," and did the whole welcoming thing. And then I said, "Man, that, you know, I really noticed you were helping your kids and you're singing along and you're doing all of that. I bet it would have been nice just to be able to relax and listen to the sermon and sing the songs." I know, a little self-righteous of myself, right, Gary? Because you know what mom said? She said, "Being with them and teaching them how to do that, that's our worship too." That was a powerful way for that family to worship. Now, unfortunately, we have a Bible that doesn't answer all of our questions, and it doesn't talk about everything. And one of the things it doesn't talk about very much are kids. Kids didn't get a whole lot of press, neither did women. But one thing that we know a lot about that the Bible does speak to is a sense of community. In the early church, what it means to be baptized, to be gathered together, to come together as a whole, to celebrate in the sacraments, and to be a church family. The Bible talks a lot about that. And the other thing that it reminds me of and makes me think of my own hubris when I said to that mother, "Wouldn't you like to listen to my sermon?" is a little bit of our own self-righteousness. In the book of Luke, the disciples come up to Jesus, and I can just hear them. "Who is the greatest among us?" Who is the greatest? Am I the greatest? Who is the greatest? And Jesus reaches out and pulls a young child over next to him because he's getting a little bit of their ego and hearing it. And he looks back at the disciples as he holds this child next to him and he says, "This is the greatest among you. This is the greatest among you. And whoever receives this child receives me. And whoever welcomes this child welcomes my Father." Who is the greatest among us? The greatest among us are going to worship with us. So help the moms and dads. At 9:30, it was perfect. There was a baby crying. It was like I planted it there. When the baby cries, don't turn around and stare at the parents. Just let the baby cry. We're okay with it, right? Leaders, worship leaders, we're all right with it. We'd rather have them there. And moms and dads, if they run a little bit in the sanctuary, I'm okay with it. I'd rather have them here. We won't let them in the sound booth, Jane. I promise. Thank you. I promise, DM. Who is the greatest among us? As we respond to the call of baptism to raise our children in the life of the church and in the faith, knowing their Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ, we can do that together. Thanks be to God. Amen.